సుప్రభాతం. యోగ సూత్ర పరిచయ వర్గస్య త్రయోవింశః వర్గః. ప్రార్థనా శ్లోకేన ఆరంభం కుర్మః. యోగేన చిత్తస్య పదేన వాచాం మలం శరీరస్య చ వైద్యకేన యోపాకరోత్తం ప్రవరం మునీనాం పతంజలిం ప్రాంజలిరానతోస్మి. సో we will begin with the review of the previous class. In the previous class we concluded the second chapter, and then we started the third chapter, that is the Vibhutipada. Here in the Vibhutipada, as we see, vibhutis are the main subjects, the central subjects, that is the various kinds of powers that are attained by the specific practice of dharana, dhyana and samadhi. And hence initially this chapter begins with a description on dharana, dhyana and samadhi. So in the first unit of this chapter discusses about dharana, dhyana and samadhi. We saw that fixing the mind to one place is dharana, desha bandha, chittasya dharana. And then the second step is pratyaya ekatanata dhyanam. When the mind is fixed to one particular place, as I mentioned earlier, in the heart or on the tip of the nose or in between the eyebrows or on the top of the head or any object outside or any place outside. Once the place is fixed, then we meditate in that place, assuming the existence of something else there. If it is external, the objects will exist as they are. For example, we fix our mind on a temple, and then in the idol that is existing in that, on the idol that existing in that, we will meditate. Or rather, we will fix our mind on the idol vigraha, and that in that vigraha we will meditate upon whichever god that we choose. For example, Narayana on the vigraha, or Krishna. So the idol, and then the focus in that idol. So similarly, the heart, we think of the heart, we fix our mind in the heart, and then we meditate upon again the deity which is to our liking, our Ishta Devata. We meditate upon that Ishta Devata in the heart. So there is a place, and then the object follows. So this is dharana and dhyanam. And then in dhyanam we see pratyaya ekatanata, the pratyaya or the thoughts. Pratyaya and vritti mean the same, ekatanata or of the similar nature. Both the successive thoughts, the successive thoughts are of the same nature, that is dhyanam. So if a person is capable of making his thoughts absolutely similar, the continuous flow of the thoughts, if they are absolutely similar, then it is called as dhyanam. For example, in the first second, the first thought, it is the knowledge of if we meditate upon Krishna, The first second, the thought is on Krishna. The second, in the second thought, this is again Krishna. Third thought is again Krishna. So, in all the continuous flow of thoughts, if the subject is the same and of the same nature, then it is called as dhyanam. Just a moment. A hand is raised. Yeah. Paul Mohadev.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to let you know that I was here and if you wanted me to record.
Yeah. I'll just make you an organizer. Thank you. Sorry. Yes. So, dharana, fixing the mind to a place, and dhyana is ensuring the continuity of similar thoughts on the chosen object. And then comes samadhi. Tadeva arthamatra nirbhasam swarupa shunyamiva samadhi. Samadhi happens. Samadhi is of course similar to that of dhyana. That's why it is said tadeva. It is the same. Essentially the action is same. Pratyaya ekatanata, similarity of thoughts, similarity of successive thoughts, that is there, but only the artha will remain here, only the object that is focused upon will remain here, that is, as we discussed earlier, dhyata, jhanam and jayam, the process of meditation, the act of meditating, the meditator and the object of meditation. All these three will be recognized or realized during dhyanam. The separation of these three will still exist during dhyanam. And whereas going by this sutra, we see that when that difference slowly disappears and only the object shines in the consciousness or in the mind, then it is samadhi. So it is dhyanam that evolves into samadhi, that we see. So dhyanam minus the awareness of the meditator and the act of meditating, only the object of meditation when it remains, then it is samadhi. And then these three put together is called as sanyama, which of course will be used repeatedly in the third pada later while discussing various vrittis. And then tajjayat prajnalokaha, when a person, depending upon the success in the sanyama, ability to do dhyarana, dhyana and samadhi, then what happens is prajna alokaha, the thought, the clarity in thinking emerges, the clarity in thinking emerges. So commentators put prajna alokaha as ritambharatvam, or understanding things as they are, ritam vibharti. We have seen this earlier also. So the true nature of things simply flash before the eyes of a person who true nature, in the sense the past, present and future of any given thing is known when a person is successful in the process of dharana, dhyana and samadhi. And then it is a process, in the sense that the sanyama itself can be strengthened further by higher and intense practice. So when depending upon the strength of sanyama, a person should slowly move from the lower stages of samadhi to the higher stages of samadhi. As we see, samadhi itself has various steps. So savitarka, nirvitarka, savichara, nirvichara. So these various steps, depending upon the strength of his sanyama, he has to move or channelize his focus or energy into these levels of samadhi. Now another aspect is trayam antarangam purvedhyaha. Now the classification between the categorization of the eight limbs or the ashtanga is indicated here. The first five limbs, yama niyama, asana pranayama, pratyahara, they are bahiranga and are indirect causes for the goal called samadhi, whereas dharana dhyana samadhi are immediate or direct causes of samadhi and hence are called antarangam. These are very essential. To underline the very essential nature of these, the word antarangam is used. And tadapi bahirangam nirbijasya. Even these three steps, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, is bahiranga, is not a direct cause, is again an indirect cause for the nirbija samadhi. And as the samadhi that does not require an object, that is nirbija samadhi. So the final samadhi or asampragnata samadhi. Asampragnata samadhi, when asampragnata samadhi happens or the nirbija samadhi happens, then what happens is gradually after that the mind gets dissolved and then it gradually leads to the kaivalyam. So the bahiranga, these are indeed bahiranga for the asampragnata or nirbija samadhi. And what is the antaranga for nirbija samadhi? It is paravairagyam, or the intense detachment or vairagyam is what will lead us from the sabija samadhi to the nirbija samadhi. So this first unit of dharana, dhyana and samadhi was discussed in the previous class, which is a review. Just we did the review of the previous class. Now we move to the next aspect of it. Next aspect of the first chapter, the third chapter, trayaha chitta parinamaha, the various changes that the mind undergoes, that is mentioned here. The modifications of the mind. So when we speak of dharana, dhyana and samadhi, what exactly is the, what are all the subtle changes that the mind undergoes? That is explained in these three, as part of these three parinamas. When we see a person moves from dhyana to samadhi, so what are all the changes which exactly happen in the mind? That is subtly observed and explained in these three. And also the changes that normally occur in the world outside, that is also generally presented here in the second unit, that is 9 to 13. The three parinamas are nirodha parinama, samadhi parinama and ekagrata parinama. It is in that sequence, nirodha, samadhi and ekagrata. Nirodha, when we say chittavritti nirodha, so what exactly is nirodha? When we say the thoughts, it is variously translated, the term nirodha, the restrainment of thoughts, or the cessation of thoughts, all those things. When we speak of that, what exactly happens in the mind? That is presented here. See, because the intricate changes in the mind is explained here, because it is the yogi in the Vibhutipada, he is going to use the mind as a tool to achieve various powers, and hence he should be aware of the various changes that are going to happen, that are happening in the mind. And hence this subtle information on the changes of the mind are explained. So nirodha parinama is change, what exactly happens when Chitta Vritti Nirodha happens. Vyutthana Nirodha Samskarayoho Abhibhava Pradurbhava Nirodha Kshana Chittanvayaha. So what happens is Abhibhava and Pradurbhava. Abhibhava is weakening and Pradurbhava is manifestation. So during Nirodha, Chitta Vritti Nirodha, two things happen. One, something gets suppressed or something gets weakened and something becomes strong. Something gets manifest. What is that? So, Vyutthana Nirodha Samskarayoho. So, during the Chitta Vritti Nirodha, it is the samskaras which act or which are first influenced. It is very important to understand that Chitta Vritti Nirodha, though the term indicates Vritti Nirodha, Vritti or the restrainment of the thoughts, the Vrittis themselves, if a person simply tries to control the Vrittis themselves, it's very difficult. There will be n number of Vrittis and hence it is difficult. So, by practice, if the Vrittis emerge from the Samskaras and hence if the Samskaras themselves are taken care of, then what happens is Vrittis stop naturally. It is like the flow of water. The water just flows down a channel. Rather than, for example, there is water overflow in a particular room or in the bathroom or somewhere. So, a person tries to, the water is flowing out and then he is trying to throw out the water. What can be done is simply the tap can be closed. If the tap is closed, naturally the water will stop coming and then the existing water will drain out. Similarly, this is a very bad example. Similarly, rather than clutching at the vrittis themselves, if by practice a person is capable of influencing the samskaras, then what happens is that Chitta Vritti Nirodha happens easily, quite easily. So that important aspect is explained here. Nirodha happens only by increasing the positive samskaras in the initial stage. So what Abhibhavaha. So, there are two terms here, Vyutthana and Nirodha Samskara. The Samskaras are classified into Vyutthana Samskara and Nirodha Samskara. Vyutthana refers to Viruddham Utthanam, that is arising against control. So, Vyutthana refers to all resistance to control. So, the natural state of the mind is being distracted, and when we try to control it, what happens is the mind revolves and rushes back into the external objects. So that is called as Vyutthanam, turning towards or an alignment towards objects outside or a natural state which opposes control of the mind, that is Vyutthanam. And Nirodha, as you know, is the control or rather the cessation. So all the samskaras that support Vyutthana are called as Vyutthana samskaras, and all the samskaras that lead to Nirodha are called as Nirodha samskaras. So during Chitta Vritti Nirodha, what really happens is Chitta Vritti Nirodha becomes possible only when the Vyutthana Samskaras become weakened and Nirodha Samskaras are strengthened. So, how are the Nirodha Samskaras strengthened? By the practice of various limbs of yoga, including Yama, Niyama and Asana, what happens is, gradually, the Nirodha Samskaras increase and Vyutthana Samskaras are weakened. So, when Chitta Vritti Nirodha is about to happen, so the real thing that happens in the mind is the weakening of Vyutthana Samskaras and then the strengthening of the Nirodha Samskaras. So, when this happens, naturally, the vrittis that arise out of the samskaras are also, actually the vrittis cease or the number of vrittis reduce. So, from the vyutthana samskaras, the number of vrittis that arise are innumerable, whereas the nirodha samskaras gradually reduce the number of vrittis. So, during the Chitta Vritti Nirodha, the worldly samskaras are weakened and the samskaras that lead to Chitta Vritti Nirodha are strengthened and which has an impact on the vrittis. This is Nirodha Parinama. And then, the next sutra says tasya prashanta vahita samskarat. So the mind, if it is capable of how quiet will the mind be? So or the nature of quietness of the mind, prashantata, prashanta vahita. It's a beautiful term here. Prashanta vahita, the flow of the quietude or the peaceful flow of the mind. So, prashanta vahita, the next sutra speaks about the peaceful flow of the mind. What ensures the peaceful flow of the mind? Prashanta vahita samskarat. So, Nirodha, in the state of Nirodha, what happens is the mind is peaceful. So, how will it remain peaceful through, continuously? The peaceful state of the mind, how is it ensured? It is ensured by the samskaras. What samskaras? Nirodha samskaras. So, how long will the mind be peaceful? As long as the nirodha samskaras are powerful, so long the mind will be peaceful. And hence, to remain in the state of chitta vritti nirodha, or to continue in the state of chitta vritti nirodha, it is essential to have a very good level of Nirodha Samskaras. A very good, the strength of the Nirodha Samskaras should be high. Depending upon, probably the connection between the strength and the Nirodha Samskara, the strength of the Nirodha Samskaras and the peaceful state of the duration of the peaceful state of the mind are directly proportional. If the strength of the Nirodha Samskaras are high, then the duration of the peaceful state of the mind is longer. So, that is emphasized by the next sutra, Prashanta Vahita Samskarat. The peaceful flow of the mind continues, or the duration of the peaceful state of the mind is determined by the strength of the Nirodha Samskaras. So, a person may be in a state of Nirodha for a few seconds. That's why in one of the commentaries, it's the Sadashiva Brahmendra's commentary, we see that a person may just be in a state of Nirodha for a few seconds, or he may be in the state of Nirodha for a few hours, or he may be in the state of Nirodha for many days. What determines the duration of the Nirodha? It is the strength of the samskaras. So, depending upon the strength of the samskaras, the peaceful state of the mind, the duration of the peaceful state is also determined. That fact is emphasized by the next. Though by implication one knows it in the previous sutra itself, but still it is openly stated, clearly stated, explicitly stated to emphasize. So the repetition, this is a sutra and hence repetitions are not warranted, but still there is this thought is repeated so that the idea is emphasized, the idea that the Nirodha Samskara should be sufficiently strong to ensure the duration of the peaceful state of the mind, the longer duration of the peaceful state of the mind. That is Nirodha Parinama, the first Parinama. And then from Nirodha, a person moves to Samadhi. During the state of Samadhi, what happens to the mind? That will again be the question. We have explained that tadeva arthamatra nirbhasam swarupa shunyam iva samadhi. So only the object will exist and nothing else will remain, and even the mind will forget its existence, and only the object will be all pervasive in the mind, will pervade the mind. That is explained. So how is such a state attained? So from dhyana to samadhi, how does that change come? So that is explained in this sutra. Chittasya sarvarthata ekagratayoho kshayodayo. Abhibhava pradurbhava of the samskara was explained in the previous stage, and now when the samskaras, when the vyutthana samskaras are weakened and then the nirodha samskaras are strengthened, how does it reflect in the vrittis? What happens is, when the vyutthana samskaras are weakened, then chittasya sarvarthatayaha kshayaha. The sarvarthata means the mind running to get connected with all the things outside. As many things that exist in the normal state of mind, the mind is connected with the various things that we see outside. Though the connection may be for a second, or sometimes that connection will continue for some more time. So, when the vyutthana samskaras are active, the state of the mind is sarvarthata. It is not focus. It is not ekagrata. Sarvarthata is the opposite term to ekagrata. Ekagrata is single-pointed focus, whereas sarvarthata is getting connected to various things, running behind various things. So, when the Nirodha Samskaras rise, or when the Nirodha Samskaras are strengthened, what happens is the sarvarthata, or the nature of the mind for being connected with various things, that reduces, kshayaha. So the number of vrittis that raise to get connected with various things outside, they reduce. So essentially this speaks about the vrittis. So the number of the vrittis are influenced. So many vrittis are reduced. And then ekagratayaha udayaha. So distracted multiple vrittis reduce kshayaha, and then single pointed thought arises or dominates udayaha. So this is because the samskaras, yutthana samskaras are weakened and the nirodha samskaras are strengthened. By that, the multi-pronged approach of the mind to various objects outside is reduced, and then the single pointed focus of the mind increases. So the first sutra speaks the working of the mind at the level of samskara, and here the impact of that change in the level of samskara on the vrittis is presented in the second stage, that is samadhi parinama. Chittasya sarvarthata ekagratayoh khayodayau samadhi parinama. These are the changes that will happen when a person will be reaching the state of samadhi. Sarvarthata kshayah ekagratayah udayah. So sarvarthata essentially means vikshepaha, and ekagrata anekeshu vishayeshu chalana abhavah. So that was explained, and then gradually what happens is ekagrata parinamah. And even in this ekagrata, the ekagrata gets stabilized. So we saw that the thoughts becoming identical to each other, the successive thoughts becoming identical to each other, that was mentioned. And then here the ekagrata parinamaha speaks of that. Shantoditau tulya pratyayau. The mind now reaches the state of ekagrata. Then what happens is shanta pratyaya. Pratyaya I mentioned is vritti or the thought. The thought that just disappeared from the mind, and then the thought that has just manifested in the mind are tulya. So are absolutely identical with each other. That is ekagrata parinama. So during the state of ekagrata, which is attained by reaching the state of samadhi, what happens is the thought that, the mind is, as mentioned previously, it is a continuous flow. Thoughts keep flowing in the mind. So that's why even in the first chapter also, in Vyasa's commentary, the mind is compared to a nadi, chitta nadi. So the flow of thoughts always are there. Even during the state of samadhi, the flow of thoughts do exist. But what is the flow, what is the nature of the flow? That is clarified here. The previous thought that just disappeared, and then the thought that is now currently existing are tulya, are absolutely identical. When that is achieved, that is called as ekagrata parinamaha. That is the change that happens in the mind when it is said a person has attained ekagrata. So what is ekagrata? What is the change in the mind that happens when ekagrata is achieved? The previous thought and the current thought are of the same nature, very identical in nature. That happens because the sarvarthata has now reduced and ekagrata has arisen. And this sarvarthata again is influenced by the weakening of the vyutthana samskara and the strengthening of the nirodha samskara. And hence all these three are interconnected. So slowly when a person enters the state of Nirodha, it is the samskaras which are influenced. The pro samadhi samskaras or the Nirodha samskaras are strengthened by various practices, and those that oppose samadhi, they are weakened. By that what happens is the capability of the mind to run to various objects is curtailed and it is channelized into a single focus. And then even in that single focus, what happens is the mind's expanse is reduced to one object. About one object, the thoughts arise, and even among the thoughts on the one object, when it is still fine-tuned, the exact identical nature of the previous and the current thoughts, when that is achieved, then it is ekagrata parinamaha. So these are the three changes that happen inside the mind. So we, as the practitioners of yoga, the various limbs of yoga are practiced externally, but internally these are the changes that happen in the mind. This point, Sadashiva Brahmendra, the commentator, one of the commentators, he makes it clear that why this point is made is why such a elaborate discussion on the changes that happen in the mind. He's explained this. One is the practitioner should be aware of the mechanism of what's going on inside one's mind. That should be there. The second thing is whatever one does, even during the higher practices like Nirodha, Samadhi and Ekagrata, still the mind is active. The mind is working. So in the very first sutra it was stated that Chitta Vritti Nirodha Tada Drashtuhu Swarupe Avasthanam. Only when the mind is stilled, the drashta will be known clearly. The drashta will get established clearly. As long as the mind is active, even though it is practicing various these things like Nirodha, Samadhi, etc., still as the thoughts exist, we are far away from the drashta. So that aspect is being emphasized. So even during higher yogic practices, it is a fact that the mind is still active. And hence, unless this action is stopped, one cannot think of reaching the drashta. So these are the changes that happen in the mind. Now, in the context, as the changes in the mind have been presented, similarly, the changes outside are also discussed briefly in one sutra. Yetena bhuteendriyeshu dharma lakshana avastha parinamaha vyakchataha. So, the Nirodha, Samadhi and Ekagrata parinama, the changes of the mind were explained. And similarly, three states of changes happen even in the bhutas. Bhutas, the things outside which are made up of the pancha mahabhutas, the combination of the five elements, they and the indriyas, the senses that we have. So even in them, changes happen as the modifications occur. As the mind experiences Nirodha, Ekagrata and Samadhi Parinamas, similarly the things outside also the indriyas that helps to understand those things or grasp those things, the objects, they also undergo changes like dharma, lakshana and avastha parinamas. these are actually again why are the changes in the bhutas and indriyas mentioned here? It is to be seen that the world that we perceive and live is made up of the mind, the senses, and the objects outside. So essentially the Trinity is what governs or defines the world that we live in. It is not merely the objects outside. Without the senses, the objects are not grasped. Even if the objects are grasped, unless the mind is able to process it properly, we do not get to know about the objects. And hence, mind, the senses, and the objects outside, they constitute our existence. So, the changes in the mind was explained, one aspect or one level of our existence. So, in that context, it will be appropriate to indicate the changes in the senses and also the objects that are connected with the mind. Dharma, Lakshana and Avastha Parinamas happen in the senses and in the objects outside. So what is Dharma Parinama? Is Mridaha Ghatatvena Parinamaha Dharma Parinamaha. So various attributes keep changing in the objects outside. For example, the mud getting changed into the lump of clay, getting changed into a pot, an earthen pot, that is Dharma Parinama. The physical change in the characteristics of the mud. Earlier it was a lump, a wet lump, and then what happens is it is shaped, it is given us a specific shape, and then it is heated, and then that shape it attains, the firmness in that shape is reached. It is not something new, but it is just a change in the features. It is the same mud which is the pot, but still it is the change in the characteristics or the features. Earlier it was soft, now it has hardened the features. So then that is called as Dharma Parinama. That things that happens in the objects. So that is Sthulaha Sakriyaha. It is a gross change, which is a noticeable change, a clearly noticeable change, which is brought about by proactive action. It is a potter is needed to make mud into or a lump of clay into a pot. So that is Dharma Parinama. Dharma Parinama is that which is the observable change in the features of a thing which is brought about by a conscious effort. That is Dharma Parinama. And then in both the Indriyas and the Bhutas, it is very clear in the Bhutas, that is on the objects outside, but how it happens in the Indriyas, it is subtler, one has to observe. And the commentators are also silent on this object, on this particular thing. So probably one has to observe our senses to find this change in the Indriyas. And then Lakshana Parinama. Lakshana in the context means Kala. The change of time. That also affects change on the object. For example, the time itself is a change with respect to a particular object. For example, we have a pot. The pot of yesterday and the pot of today are different, though essentially it is the same. It is the same thing. It is the same entity, but the pot that I saw yesterday belonged to a time of the past, and the pot that now I see is the part which exists in this current time. So it is kala parinama, rather it is a change of time, though nothing cross changes in that particular object, but still it is in a different time zone. That is, previously it was in the past, now it is in the present. So this is lakshana parinama, the change of the time period in which it existed. So in the bhutas and in the indriyas, we can see the changes in their characteristics, and then the changes in the time that they exist in. The previous minute it existed, and it is existing in the current minute, so or the current second. So these the change is with respect to the change of the time. Then the part that existed in the previous second is considered to have existed or to have being associated with the previous time, and then the part that now exists is associated with the current time. So with reference to time also, the objects are connoted as different from each other. And the third change is avastha parinama. Avastha parinama refers to the sukshmaha anirjnata kriyaha ghatasya pratikshanam parinamaha. This refers to the subtle unnoticed changes that happens in the object, in any given object, every second. This is different from the dharma parinama. When compared, should be compared and contrasted with the dharma parinama. What happens is, the dharma parinama is a noticeable change, immediately noticeable change brought about by a conscious effort. Whereas this avastha parinama cannot be noticed immediately, and hence it is a very subtle change in the fabric of the object that happens every second. For example, an object is there, we buy something new, a cloth, and then we keep using it. After some time we say it has become old, or this is an old cloth, so not fit for use. From being new, which is worth using, it has become old, which is now unfit for use. That change that indicates a change in the object. How does that change come? Does it come all of a sudden? No, it comes gradually over a period of time, and then the change that we notice only at the end of it, only when we really realize, oh, this is now unfit to be used. Till then, the modification has happened very subtly, and then suddenly one day the change is noticeable in the same object. It indicates the deterioration or the modification in any objects that we see. A book, it is new now and later it becomes old, because every second there is change in the book. So thus we see that three kinds of changes, and the travel of the book from the past to the present, it is because of the lakshana parinama. It is because of the travel of the object from the past to the present. When I say past and present, from the previous second to the next second. That is Lakshana Parinama. And due to this Lakshana Parinama, this Avastha Parinama happens. As every second passes, a change also happens in the object. And hence, we see that these are the three changes that happen, or the modifications that happen in the Bhutas and also in the Indriyas. Earlier the eyes were very sharp and now they have become weak. It is because of this Avastha Parinama. The eye has travelled in time, Lakshana Parinama. And Dharma Parinama, during the infancy, the eyes had not developed. And when the child is born, the eyes are fully developed or the various limbs are complete. That is Dharma Parinama. This is true for all the Indriyas. Dharma, Lakshana and Avastha Parinama on Indriyas. Dharma, Lakshana, Avastha Parinama in the Bhutas. They happen. Why so much elaboration on the modifications? So we saw the Parinamas on the Chitta and also the Parinamas on the objects outside and also the tools for perception, the Indriyas. Why is the change being discussed so much? Again, Sadashiva Brahmendra compiles it and says, Rite chiti shaktehe chittam bhutani indriyani cha parinamini. Accepting the Atma, accepting the Purusha, other than the Purusha, the mind, the elements and the objects that are fashioned out of the elements, and also the senses that perceive them, constantly undergo change. So that is the underline here, that is the essential aspect here. Accepting the Atma or the Purusha, all other things undergo change. And hence impermanent. So anything that undergoes change is impermanent, and anything that is stable, that is permanent. And Chiti Shakti or the Atma is the one which does not undergo either Dharma, Lakshana, Avastha, Parinamas, neither does it undergo Nirodha, Samadhi and Ekagrata Parinama. Whereas these undergo changes and hence are constantly are not constant. So to remind the practitioner that the journey should be towards the eternally changeless Purusha, all these changes that happen in the Chitta on the Bhutas and also in the Indriyas were presented. So the Dharma, Lakshana and Avastha, the Parinamas were seen in the second unit. The third unit will be on Dharma, Dharmi and Krama. The term Dharma was used, and hence some more explanation on what is Dharma, what is Dharmi and the Krama that is presented in the third unit, which we will see in the next class. Any questions? Okay, so it seems There are no questions. The state of samadhi has been achieved. So there seems to be no question here. So we conclude the class here. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi. Dhanyavadah. Shubhadinam. Dhanyavadah Paul Mahodaya.